this Lent, we've been journeying with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Her Hebrew name would have been Miriam, or Aramaic Mariam, I should note, in this season. And this traditional practice from the Middle Ages called the Seven Sorrows of Mary. The icon depicted as Mary with seven swords in her heart, each representing a moment of profound sorrow that she'd experience. This theme of sorrow is something that carries on through the history of the church in the East and West, based on the prophecy Simeon had for Mary, that even you will feel sorrow in your own heart, so much soul, a sword will spear your inmost being. I should also confess to you, in the season where we have here as your mother, as Mary, that I'm in my own season, redefining and coming to terms with my own harder parts of the aspects of relationship with my own mother. And I'm sure that that is something with which some of us are also familiar. So, idealized mother versus the realities of the mother that we have. The sorrows of our own mother in this season. The first coming from the Song of Simeon and his strange prophecy. The second being Mary having to flee as a refugee from King Herod's genocidal campaign against the holy innocents of Bethlehem for fear of losing his own power. Mary worried about her lost teenage son, kicking it with the OGs at the temple, reading and learning. And like many of us when we're a teenager, Mom, what's the deal? We have the fourth sorrow, Mary at the conviction of her own son during a sham trial. Today, Mary at the foot of the cross, and next Sunday at Palm Sunday, as we journey with Jesus and his disciples in their triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and in his final moments, we'll hear a word from a mother among us on Jesus' sixth and seventh sorrow, death, his descent from the cross. And when the women were preparing to anoint Jesus' body for burial before the Sabbath. Today we join Mary and Jesus' beloved disciple. Jesus' beloved disciple. There is a queer reading here about Jesus having a lover and what that may have meant. There's a reading here, there's a story here about the power of chosen family. And motherhood and fatherhood being not only a biological aspect of our life, but a communal responsibility. Responsibility of care and mutuality. That we are responsible for the next generation. And that, as children, we're owed caring and loving and adoring parents. Aren't we all Jesus beloved? During dying moments, having witnessed the horrible corruption, justice done in the name of SBQR, Senatus et Populatus que Romanus, the Senate and people of Rome, probably had it in better Latin, or Babylon, or Pharaoh, or every empire, including these so-called United States of America and her empire, who still crucify us. It should be noted, too, that it was Pilate in Rome that crucified Jesus, and any other teaching that says the Judeans or the Jewish authorities are culpable is an anti-Semitic lie. Only Rome had authority to crucify, and just like empires, again and again, they will deflect and defer that responsibility, sowing the ancient and violent lie of divide and conquer. In this moment in Jesus' suffering, he looks at his mother and his friend, knowing that they'll need each other because we need each other, and he declares, "This is your mother." Mother, this is your child. Take care of each other. Mother who will have lost a son convicted of treason. Beloved who will have lost a lover. You'll have to take care of my mother. This is also a story of having to take care of our aging parents, that at some point we will have to take care of those who once took care of us. So let us remember our mothers, the good and the bad and the ugly, but also know that Mary is our mother. Let us remember how she sings that Magnificat as Jesus jumps in her belly. Fill the hungry with good things. Send the rich away empty. Cast the tyrants from their thrones. Lift up the lowly. In accordance to the promises God made to Abraham and his descendants forever. The children of Jacob that become Israel. The children of Ishmael who become eventually our brothers and sisters who confess who are Muslims. Who also worship our God of Abraham, and to us, from many places, from many people who are grafted onto this great tree of life, we say, by the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Let us remember how we accompanied our divine brother, worrying about refugees, worrying about children, watching prophets collapse of burnout or cast out. Let's remember how the Magnificat echoes Miriam's great song of the sea in celebration of their deliverance from slavery into freedom. Everywhere the Bible says salvation, it means liberation. Remember in Thanksgiving the mothers and mother figures who mothered us and loved us and cared for us and gave so much of themselves for us. All the best is in Mary, our mother. Remember the ancient wisdom of indigenous peoples from across the world that the earth is our mother. And what does it mean that Mary is our mother too? Today, we join our mother, weeping at the foot of the cross, not alone, but in community. And we need community in this time, seeking to isolate us and suck us in to our devices and to the proverbial data centers. Extract, extract, extract. And our mother weeping for us as we're extracted. And our earth as she's extracted again and again and again. And even at her brokenness, even at watching the suffering of her own children, our Mother Mary and the earth, as Bodo Wadomi, ethnobotanist Robin Wall Kimmerer, reminds us, that even a wounded world feeds us. Even a wounded world provides for us. Even a wounded world has a broken heart, a heart that breaks with us, a heart that is pierced at the horrors we see when we look at the news. Wondering, is Jesus teaching about what will come really true? Will he truly come again from the dead? What will we do now? As he breathes his last breath. Perhaps Mary really did know. There are two dialogues from old and new from scripture I'd like to end with. There's one in this moment that the Orthodox capture in their prayers for Holy Saturday, and Jesus is hanging on the cross and they have this dialogue between them. Mary is weeping, why must you die, my child? Why must you die? Very artistically. Do not fear, Jesus replies in this canon. Do not fear, O Mother, it is by my own will that the earth covers me. And the gatekeepers of hell will tremble at the blood-stained garments of humanity's vengeance. And I shall arise as God to magnify you. Each and every one of you, each and every one of you, unique sparks of the divine image for this moment. And death will be destroyed. And together we live this eternal life. And so I offer this response too, as I close out my own sharing of these seven sorrows of Mary, my own poem, which is an answer to our anti-Catholic friends on why we ask for Mary's prayers in the style of Dorothy Soleil's answer to our leftist friends as to why we pray. Because we need to be reminded that God came to be with humanity in the belly of a woman many disgraced. Did you hear Mary's pregnant? She's not even married yet. I wonder who the baby's father is. Which is why we sometimes say, Hail Mary, full of grace. Because we sometimes think God rewards us for good works, that God's presence is only with those who we deem righteous, because we need to remember that God came to earth not in the belly of a wealthy woman or a perfect woman, but he arrived into earth as a fetus inside Miriam's belly before she was married, which is why we sometimes say God is with you. Because we live in a world where too many think blessings are wealth and people deserve to suffer. Because we live in a world where poverty is seen as a moral failure and teenage mothers are called all sorts of names, which is why we sometimes say, Blessed are you among humanity, especially women. Because we forget God's blessing is not in money or accolades or the finer things. Because we need to be reminded of the reason for every season. The crowning act of God's love was becoming like us. Having a brain with serotonin and dopamine. Having a body vulnerable to illness and wounds. With eyes that cry and hands that touch and heal when given consent. Which is why we sometimes say, Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Because we should be reminded you were there at the beginning when your baby took his very first breath until the day he died after a sham trial. You watched your son suffer until his last breath, an untimely death, because too many mothers hear their children cry, I can't breathe. Or they hear, ma'am, we have some bad news. The sentence is death, or it was a justified use of force. And too many mothers have had their babies ripped from their arms because there are still sham trials and justice is still corrupted, which is why we sometimes say, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Because we know the power of prayer, we were brought to this moment by prayer, because we stand on the shoulders of countless generations and we call them the communion of saints, and we cannot do this thing called life alone, which is why we sometimes ask, Pray for us sinners, because we need help. Now, in a world being suffocated by greenhouse gases, in a country that seems to be falling apart, in our neighborhoods that are too often becoming police states and war zones, and death seems to be at our doorstep, which is why we sometimes say, now and at the hour of our death, because by God's grace, this is most certainly true. Amen.